Thanks for hanging in, teachers and leaders. This is part two of our mission statement here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. And let me read that mission statement to you, and then we'll jump into the next part. Our student ministries exist to nurture and commission students who love God, who love His church, and who love their generation. This particular audio is going to be about that phrase, who love God. Students who love God. But before I zero in on that one particular statement, who love God, I want you to notice that our mission statement is all about our students becoming lovers who love God, who love His church, who love their generation. We want our students to be lovers. And lovers are people who give themselves over to something. Love looks crazy to an outsider, because here's a young man and he's paying an exorbitant amount of money to give this girl a ring. He is taking her to fine restaurants, and she is way out of his league, and yet she agrees to marry him. And you're thinking, why is she marrying that guy? He's a doofus and you're beautiful. This is crazy. Why? Because they're in love. They're lovers. Throughout the scripture, we see when people love God, they do crazy things. The woman who sits at the feet of Jesus and she pours this ointment at His feet, and it's an exorbitant amount of money that's in that ointment, and she pours it out, and everyone around saying, that's crazy. Why are you pouring out this expensive ointment on somebody's feet? And because she loves Jesus. It looks crazy to the outsiders, but she loves Him. That our goal is that our students would be lovers of God. We want them to be lovers of His church. We want them to be lovers of their own generation of people. And I want to contrast that real quickly with the idea of just merely educating our students. That our goal is not just to give them information. Now, we have to do that. The gospel is word. God has left us an inspired written word. That's what He's given to us until He sends His Son back and we see Him face to face. But for right now, we are word-centered. It's a message that we teach. We have to teach a message. But we're not just teaching facts. Our students can Google facts. We're not trying to just get them to know facts. We want them to fall in love with God and with His church and with their own generation. And so I want to talk about that first phrase here, to nurture and commission students who love God. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you fall in love with somebody because they have everything you're looking for. I mean, you fall in love with a man, or you fall in love with a woman, or you fall in love with your children because it's beautiful. They're lovely. You cherish them. You're attracted to them. How do we get students to love God? We magnify Him. We tell them about how great He is. And if you look at the scriptures, the clearest teaching we have about who God is our own Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the final revelation of God to us. We know what God is like when we look at Jesus. And look at Him. All throughout the scriptures, throughout the New Testament, what is Jesus doing? In this story, He's running to a leper. In this story, He stops the crowds. He turns away and He goes after a blind man. When the disciples bring, or when the parents bring their children to Jesus, the disciples say, no, Jesus is too busy. Jesus, He gets angry with the disciples. He says, no, bring the children to me. Here is Jesus washing the feet of His disciples, full of grace and truth. So holy, the demons run from Him. So wise that even the wise men of the day sit at His feet. So good that all the children want to be at His feet. He is so gracious that He forgives Peter, who denies Him over and over again. I mean, Jesus is wonderful. And he is the revelation of God. And I tell you that because if we want our students to fall in love with God, we have to get to Jesus. And the scripture is about him. Every story you teach is about Jesus. And I'll tell you why we know that. After Jesus rose from the dead, he had a Bible study with his own disciples, Luke 24. Jesus sat down with his disciples, and it says he went through the Old Testament, and he told his disciples, all of that is about me. Leviticus, about me. Daniel, it's about me. The book of Malachi, it's about me. The book of Ruth, it's about me. It's all about me. Everything in this Bible is about me. And there are a lot of ways to do this. I mean, the Jesus Storybook Bible gives one example of that. If you've not read that, I would encourage you to read that, whether you're teaching high schoolers or you're teaching children. The Jesus Storybook Bible is one of the ways. It will teach you how to get to Jesus. I think the tagline of that Storybook Bible is, every story whispers his name. That's one way. You know, another way is the way that I do this. I have what I call the How Much More principle. Briefly, the How Much More principle looks like this. Let me look at Daniel in the lion's den, and get to Jesus from Daniel in the lion's den by using the How Much More principle. I mean, there's the raw facts of the story. Daniel and the lions den, very simply, right? Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. These lions are supposed to eat him, but they don't because God shuts the mouths of the lions. And he does that because Daniel's praying. Daniel prays to be delivered. God hears his prayer, answers his prayer, shuts the mouths of the lions, and Daniel is saved. Now, that is a true story in history. That really happened. And the How Much More principle, you know, we're talking about how do we get to Jesus. Here's one of the ways I do that. I might look at my students and say, hey guys, listen, God answered the prayer of Daniel that he would be saved from the lions. Did you know that Jesus is praying that you'll be saved from your sins? Did you know that Jesus is praying that you'll be saved from death? He does this in John 17. He says, Father, keep them from the evil one. He says, Father, protect my people so that they will come to me and see my glory. Jesus is praying for his people. He's praying that God would shut the mouth of sin, would shut the mouth of Satan, and would ultimately overcome death because Christ has overcome death, that ultimately that his people will be raised from the dead. And so the How Much More principle might go like this. If God answered Daniel's prayer, how much more will he answer Jesus' prayer? If Daniel prayed to be delivered from the mouths of lions, how much more will we be delivered from sin and from Satan and from death if Jesus, our Savior, is praying for us right now? How much more, you know, another illustration would be David and Goliath. If God used David, a sinner, a little scrawny boy who sinned many times against God, if God used David to slay Goliath and save his people from slavery to the Philistines, how much more can we be sure that we will be saved, not from Goliath, who would chain us for a few years, but to be delivered from Satan, who would want to chain us forever, for eternity? How much more are we going to be delivered from eternal slavery and slavery to sin and eternal punishment? How much more are we saved from that if Jesus is our champion? Certainly, he's overcome sin and Satan and death. And so I call that the How Much More principle. But the point I'm getting at here is if we want our students to fall in love with God, then the clearest expression of who God is Jesus. We have to teach about Christ, who is full of grace, full of truth. The good news is Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. What he has done for his people is good news. Get to Jesus. Teachers, I know you do a great job with this already, but continue to point our kids to Christ. If we're going to have, if we're going to nurture and commission students who love God, it's going to be because we constantly teach them about the good news of Jesus Christ, who is God in flesh. Well, thanks for joining me again for this next segment, and I look forward to spending some time with you in our third session. Thanks, teachers. Bye.